to the sound now, and over to Ginny.
Right. Okay. Let me know when you're ready. Yep, ready? Well, good morning, everyone. We are few in number today, but our love and prayers go out to everyone who's not able to be here today. And we're looking today at healing. And I'm sure Bruce will expand on that in a little while. But we're going to start with Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And it has this verse, "Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap, ye lame, for joy." So let's sing Over a Thousand Tongues.
Trials of the trial.
So thank you, Jesus. Just as we're singing, His blood avails for me, that reminder of all that He's done for us and how His blood cleanses us. And He is our healer, so He can heal us. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, as we worship you this morning. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to sing Shout for Joy and Sing Your Praises to the King. And it says, You are my Creator. You are my Deliverer. You are my Redeemer. You are Lord. And you are my Healer and Provider. Amen. So shout for joy and sing. And our backing track has it three times over because it's so short. So good morning.
Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King. Lift your voice and bless
did it 3.5 times.
So let us come to our wonderful Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Hallowed be your name, O God. What a wonderful God you are. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We rejoice in all that you do, for you are the one and only true God. You are a living God. You are a wonderful God. You are a God that provides. You are a God that heals. You are a God that forgives. And Lord, we want to thank you for the wonderful sacrifice that Jesus, Son of God, paid on our behalf. For he went willingly to the cross, and there he suffered and died for us. Oh Lord, could we see greater love? No. Oh dear Lord, we thank you that by your great and wonderful sacrifice, our sins can be forgiven and we can enter into a new life with you, our God. We can have a personal involvement with Father, Son, and Spirit. And what a wonderful partnership that is. Lord, we thank you that although Jesus died on the cross for us, that was not the end. It was just the beginning. For as Jesus had promised, he rose again from the dead, proving that he is truly part of the Godhead. Oh, how we are so amazed. We see this wonderful word, grace. Oh Lord, this means that all that has happened is done for us. We can't work for it. We can't pay for it. But it comes because of love. You, O God, loves us so much that you were willing to do so much to let yourself be known, to let people come to you, to let us come and enter into a new and wonderful life. And Lord, we want to thank you. But Lord, we know that there are times when we're going to be tempted. And Lord, we know that you are a loving God, but also a forgiving God. And Lord, there are times when our faith is attacked. The evil one is often at work. Maybe, Lord, that Satan will try through believers to set us apart, to make divisions, to do things that are not of you, Lord. We want to hold fast. We want to say no to the devil. We want to obey you, O Lord. And so we pray that any temptation that is coming our way, we will be ready to stand up against it and praise you and believe in you and work for you and see the devil is gone. That temptation that he wants to do to poison us, Lord, we're going to turn away from it. He's not going to get the victory because you, Lord, are our God. So, Lord, we want you to fill our lives with all that you know at this time is necessary. We want you, Lord, to be the wonder in our lives. We want you to keep us clear of what is right and what is wrong. And where some of us may get things wrong, we want you, Lord, to show us the truth, to show us the way to serve you, to show us the way to stand fast and ignore the evil one. So, Lord, we want you as our God to bring to this, our church, this fellowship of believers. We want you, Lord, to enter into the hearts of each one of us in a new, wonderful and powerful way. Set us on fire, Lord, for you. This, Lord, is our earnest prayer, and we bring these prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.
So we're going to sing, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." And it says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee."
Eunice is going to bring to us today's reading.
Our reading comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped on his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Amen. So we're going to sing Power. We have done it two or three times, I think, before, but not since about January. Oh, three, is it? Bruce, thank you. So we've sung it three times before, so hopefully you remember it.
As I look at the beauty around me, your head cries out in everything I see.
Ask you to forgive me if I remain seating to share the message today. The fact that I'm seating doesn't take away any of my enthusiasm for the healing ministry. Can I just tell you, first of all, that 2003 was when I attended the School of Ministry, and what the message that I'm going to share with you today is based on part of what we learnt on that course. The place, in other words, of ministry in the church today. But before we go into that, I want you to know what had already touched my heart. I had been, before 2003, in the 90s, I had been to different churches. I'd taken people to churches, part as an act of evangelism, and at some of these services I saw in some cases a person standing up and asking for prayer for healing. In other services I found that there was a peace in the order of service for healing. And I've seen so many people come through to the front for healing. Different churches, different ways. But I've seen so much of it that it really enthused, encouraged me, and put a lot of questions in my heart about it. I hadn't seen it in church that I'd grown up in, but you know, it was there, it was active, it was spirit filled, and so I decided to go on the School of Ministry, a course that, as you see, or as you might know, I attended in 2003, and from that, first of all, we learn that our warrant for healing services comes from obedience to Christ's command to his followers to preach the gospel and heal the sick. So in other words, we're responding to that. The body of Christ, in other words, his church, therefore, has the task of allowing Jesus, by his Spirit, to carry on this saving work, proclaiming wholeness for the sick in body, in mind, and in spirit. All the worship services, we learnt, are healing events dependent upon the divine presence, the awareness of which worship is intended to create as we worship. This should be in our hearts. The spirit of healing is present in the sacraments, in communion, in preaching, in prayer, in fellowship, and in pastoral and social ministry of the church today. This is, or should be, its normal activity, and all members are called to be involved in it. The importance of confession and the assurance of the forgiving love of God in worship cannot, my friends, be overstressed. There is need for specific healing services as an opportunity to declare the reality of our living Christ and the power of his Spirit today, and to bear witness to God's concern for the total well-being of man. In an age more aware of pain than sin, such services speak more directly to people's awareness and provides an opportunity to lead them on to a deeper awareness of God's saving grace. It must be understood that every part of the service, rather than the just the laying on of hands, is the ministry of healing. Thus, healing comes through the unity of a liturgical or non-liturgical form, in which the Spirit of God fills his people. That's what must have been what the Spirit was doing in my life, wasn't it? Making me more and more aware as I went to churches to worship of the healing ministry, of how the Spirit acts. You know, the importance of worship, or the worship act, aspect, if you like, in a healing service cannot be overestimated. There are those who are healed in mind and spirit and also in body while participating in the service as a whole. In fact, you know, some people are healed by when worshipping God in a worship service doesn't say anything to anybody except to God himself, and they ask for healing, and they'll tell you afterwards in that service God answered that prayer. Nobody else knew. So it's not always coming in a particular way. The degree of surrender to peace and the power of the Lord and the uplift of the service contribute greatly to the healing work of Jesus within the congregation. But you know, the greatest blessing occurs when, forgive me, when ministering, the laying on of hands are themselves upborne by the fellowship of a believing and praying people. In other words, that whole mission, if you like, as they lay hands on someone in a service, it's not just the people that are laying on their hands, it's the whole congregation. The Spirit works through us all. And oh dear, before I ever laid hands on anyone for healing, I knew that when other people were doing it, I knew something was going on in mine. And I just had to surrender to what the Spirit was doing in my own body. You see, the ministry of the laying on of hands are themselves upborne by the fellowship of a believing and praying people. The church or the people that are gathered, small group, big group, whatever, they are part of the laying on of hands and act of healing. When the whole congregation is in the Spirit of the Lord, then the Lord can work mightily. This, of course, is not to say that we must wait until everyone in the church has accepted the full ministry of healing. It is something towards which we must constantly work towards. Very often, the ministry within a church starts with a small group expecting Jesus to work in this way through his body, which is, of course, the church. Jesus, in his risen power, is standing among us. So the healing should be expected as a sign that the kingdom of God is among us. The risen Jesus is a greater, not less, than the Jesus of his flesh. Whether there is an instant healing, or there is the beginning of a process of healing, we acknowledge the power of Jesus to heal today. We quench the spirit by our lack of faith and our what we expect. The preparation of a congregation by prayer and confidence in Jesus is, of course, of vital importance. We must believe in this. Now, individual gifts. The New Testament manifests a variety of forms of healing. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, speaks of gifts of healing, where healing is given through one or another individual and not limited solely to the ordained ministry. There must be some in our churches to whom the Lord has given specific gifts of healing. We know, don't we, all believers have a gift from the Spirit. Well, there must be some in all fellowships where healing is given to at least one of those people. These gifts can be used in small groups, in home services, in prayer, in the laying on of hands, healing memories, and doing a wonderful work. The gifts could also be used in sharing with the ordained ministry in healing services. And when I say the ordained ministry, what we really mean is these gifts could be used in sharing with whoever is leading in the church at that time. Some churches find reference to the gifts of the Spirit difficult to understand, and they feel that such matters belong to the charismatic movement. But come on, that's not right. It is evident, however, that the healing ministry has already formed bridges between those of different understanding. People, churches who have a different understanding of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Different denominations, for instance. Separate gatherings of worship, perhaps not from any denomination, but a gathering of people in the faith. The Spirit works in all. And the way and the approach might be entirely different from one another. But the fact is that our Lord says in his word, has given the body, his church, gifts of healing, and wants us to be sure that yes, we're doing things that are healing people's mind. We're working so that they come to know a Saviour, the healing their body from the sin of the past. But there is also the healing of the sick, the healing of the disturbed, the healing of the lonely, the healing of the people who just cannot accept that Jesus could do all that he's done. And they find it very stressful. There are lots of ways which people come for healing. But what I want to share with you today, particularly, is that we need, as a small gathering may be, but we need to realize that we are given the gift of healing that we are asked as a fellowship to make sure that one way or another, in services or as a small group of individuals, in a house group, whatever, in a one-to-one situation, we are called to see that there is a ministry of healing within our fellowship. Because that is what Jesus wants. He wants a healing ministry, as he says, in the body. In other words, in the church of God. And the church of God isn't the local Methodist church or Anglican church or whatever. It's all believers. All believers. And whatever we are and however different our services are, we all are challenged to have the ministry of healing. And friends, I've seen and I've partaken later in some wonderful things. Yes, God is at work and wants to work in and through us. So may we give him the right to do this, and may the glory be his and his alone. Amen. Just a short prayer before we go straight on to communion. Dear Lord, open our hearts and minds that we might be ready to accept any and all the challenges that you give to us as your people. We praise you, O God, for you are truly wonderful, and we want to see your power at work. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to go straight on to communion. Jilly, will you come in a moment and take the bread? We are to take the bread in remembrance that Jesus died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. As we are served with the bread, may we each individually partake. Thank you, Julie. I'll just take mine if I may. Thank you. Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood." He said, "Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." We hold the cup until we're all served, that we might drink together. Brian, would you come? The blood of Jesus was shed for us and for many for the remission of sins. Let us drink and be truly thankful. And now we're going to go straight on. We've passed our time to the last hymn. Thank you, Ginny.
So I believe that this song, I the Lord of Sea and Sky, is an encouragement to send us out in the power of Jesus and to pray for healing, to preach the gospel and to pray for healing for all people. So I, the Lord of sea and sky.
special notices next Saturday, Sunday morning. We turn the clocks back, so you'll get an extra hour's sleep. So don't forget that, otherwise you'll come here an hour early and we won't be here. All right? The other thing is that we are going to celebrate collecting food stuff for the food bank at Revere Life, and we're going to have harvest hymns because we haven't celebrated harvest. So bring your gifts, make them your harvest gifts, but make them possible for the Revere Lives food bank. They're doing a wonderful job with people who are in desperate need for food. Something one time ago you would never saw it happen in Torquay, but it is. Please. So the hymns are going to be harvest hymns, but the service and the reading we had already prepared, and the subject is joy. So I don't think it's that far from there. But to make sure that we give God thanks for the harvest, that's why the hymns will be harvest hymns. Thank you, Gilly. So let us get together and say the grace. Very wise. May the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right then.